This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
I feel like the two of them going on a road trip and staying in a hotel room together would be just like planes, trains, and automobiles.
Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows. Those aren't pillows.
Insanely funny movie.
So good.
Who's the governor there? I'm guessing Steve Martin. Right? Marty Walsh is John Candy.
Probably, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, who else is going on a road trip? Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, good luck to the two of them and their trip to Washington, D.C. Mr. Walsh goes to Washington. Or whatever. This is Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Greg. It sounds like Wally goes to Washington, but that could be a whole new story.
It really?
Now, I would wonder, and true sense, if there was a road trip, would the trooper sit shotgun, or would the Boston police officer? The whole protective services element of this is a whole new variable.
Yeah.
Would they get a Yugo?
I mean,
what about a Winnebago? Do you think they'd go back to the 70s and have one of those really awesome peace buses? Where's the beer summit going to be? There's a lot of questions to this, Greg.
I mean, this texter says nobody told Marty Walsh that the government is closed. Like it's gonna be like John Candy at the amusement park.
Right.
Sorry, folks. Sorry, government's
park's closed.
Sorry.
Trump should have told you out front.
Oh. But here's a hamburger.
Right, yeah.
All right, so what is Marty saying? They're going to go down there and fix the problem?
Yes.
The two of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This is Mike on the Framingham Ford studio line. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Greg.
What's up?
Hey, I'm guessing that Mayor Walsh is playing the part of Oscar Madison in this odd couple. Can you picture Governor Baker coming in all dramatic? He's got a hotel room all banged up. He's got beer cans all over the place. And there's Governor Baker folding his suit and ironing his suit. Oh, my God. I could just picture it right now.
I wonder if they pack some snacks for the road.
Oh, no. They're hitting the 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a time to cheat.
Here's a 508 text that says, if the government shutdown was 9-11, then Marty Walsh would be Mark Wahlberg. Yes, he's going to fix everything.
Yes. That's great.
Ooh, I hope the governor isn't listening right now. Is the governor listening? Here's a 774 text that says, Greg, what are two Democrats from Massachusetts going to do about the government shutdown?
Hey.
He's a Republican.
Yeah.
He is. He is a Republican. I could ear moth driving songs all freaking morning long. That means that we are never going to get to. We have to get to the code word, right? Shoes freaking out. All right. It is 7:05. And this is WAAF-FM and HD1 Westboro, Boston, WEEI HD2 Lawrence, and WWBX HD2 Boston. That's before everybody knew that Jackson Brown was an abuser of women and beat up Daryl Hannah whatever. That's when that kind of tainted his music for me after that. I don't know about you, but
LB loves Daryl Hannah.
What's that?
LB loves Daryl Hannah.
Sure do.
How do you not?
All right. It is 7:07, and it is time for this.
And now, LB.
He speak like a real man spoke.
With a WAAF Sports Minute.
NFC Championship Weekend. You've got L.A. At the Bayou taking on the Saints at 3:05, and at 6:05 out in KC, Chiefs, Pats, Andy Reid.
Yeah, it'll be a little chilly, and that's okay. I mean, we're at that time of the year, and yeah, you go play. So I don't think it'll be an issue. It's just the focus that you put on, whether you're receiving the ball, whether you're throwing the ball, carrying the ball. You got to make sure that you focus on that and take care of it, and then you go. We've had enough practice. We've continued to practice outside and when it was cold, and so it's all part of it. I mean, you just kind of adapt.
Yeah, and you know, look, I think the last time the Patriots played, you mentioned it yesterday, it was 94 they played a single-digit game at Gillette.
Oh, no, I didn't mention that. Oh. I didn't know that.
I must have heard it yesterday.
So the last time the Patriots played in a single-digit temperature game was in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, so at 6:05 Sunday. And,
I thought it was 6:40.
6:40?
6:40.
I 6:05, that's when, you know, I don't know. My
pre-game.
Bad. Yeah, my bad. Yeah. Get you ready. Yeah, so you're on the coach when for the kickoff.
I mean, I don't know. Do you think that, I mean, I feel like that Bestie is able to perform in any weather. I don't feel like it's a big factor. I mean, you throw the gloves on and you go out there and you dish the pill to Bubs.
They make winterized gloves.
Sure.
You know, they make winter clothing under their uniform.
This is an interesting question, Lindy. Do they make any gloves that aren't winterized? Isn't essentially the use of the glove?
Gloves.
The douche driving gloves.
The guy in the Porsche.
I was watching Matt Chatham, and he was chatting it up on Nesson. And the gloves have an extra thermal layer.
Okay.
In those gloves, so there are lighter gloves, and then there are winter gloves.
Like, do they make them in a gloves. Do they make them in a small size? Asking for a friend.
Of course they do.
Okay. All right. So big game. We're ready for it. Bring it on. I saw a report last night that all of these people in Kansas City are getting full Patrick Mahomes tattoos on their body.
His
full face. They love.
That
they
never
love
ends well. Ends well.
Yeah, we've been there. We've done that. Right. We did that 20 years ago. Welcome to the full body tattoo. We already did that here in Titletown.
Well, a couple of Pats chimed in as well. Dante Hightower and Trey Flowers.
From my experience, there's not really much you can do with the cold, but. As far as the actual temperature, you know, like Trey and Bill said best, you know, give us a ball on the field and we'll be there. So, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a great, great environment. You know, I'm sure the coach is going to be part of it. But, you know, we're just looking forward to getting out there and competing.
This type of game, which is one of the things that you work hard for all off season, all throughout the season, put yourself in position. You know, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, my call. Two TD win off to the Super Bowl championship again. The Celtics have the Raptors. That's the first place Raptors at the TD Garden tonight. Tip off 7:30. The Bruins are in Philly tonight to face the Flyers. They're coming off that 0-3 road trip. Coach Stevens on the call up of Peter Cehlárik because Jake DeBrusque is out with a lower body injury.
Obviously, we're looking for some help with Kretch. He played there 2 years ago, a little bit. It's a type of line he could help us with. He's tied for the lead in scoring in Providence, so that's kind of putting him in a position. Hopefully he'll have some success.
All right, so the Bruins are getting it on with Philly again tonight. So you got Jake DeBrusque out, Cehlárik in. Colby Cave was waived by the Bruins and picked up by Edmonton, and it'll be a test. You know, a lot of guys out with injury this year, but the Bruins are still hanging tough in third place. Number two, Duke lost to Syracuse. They're going to fall in the top 10 in college hoops. They lost 95-91. Number one, 1 through 23 all won except for number 16, North Carolina. Last night they lost to Wake Forest. And if you're a pro tennis fan, it's week one of the Aussie Open. Both Williams sisters won their round one matches. Round three is on ESPN as we speak now. I'm LB. That's an AF Sports Minute.
Okay, LB. It is 7:12, and coming up, we will get to Entitled Town USA. Ooh. And then We are going to play your Hillmail voicemail messages back at 8. So you can leave one of those right now on any topic. Hillmail voicemail number is 617-779-5463. That is 617-779-5463. Here's a text that says, Greg, you have not mentioned the scuba suit that Bestie wears. And yes, it is well documented. Bestie will throw on a scuba suit underneath the uniform and be fine and ready to go on Sunday night. Sorry. So tomorrow show, Stowe 5-0 at about 7:30, and we'll go inside the warped female brain at 7:50. So if you are a man and you cannot figure out what is going on inside the mind of any woman in your life, Danielle will attempt to help you out with a little bit of advice and allow you inside the warped, crazy as you know what, female brain tomorrow at 7:50. And then Friday on the show, it is the first ever and probably last ever Millennial Olympics. We have all of our millennials lined up, and they will have multiple challenges that they must complete in order to win their medal. Well, actually, everybody gets a medal. But that's the way the Millennial Olympics work.
We don't want to get sued or yelled at by parents.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. So Millennial Olympics coming up on Friday's show. Update on our sports director. We have sent LB home. He was not feeling well, not looking well today, so we have sent LB back to the couch and to rest up, and he had serious surgery a while ago, and so it takes a while to recover from this stuff, especially at the advanced age that he and I are at. So
he's a warrior. He tries to fight it, but
he's a warrior unless there's an event going on that he wants to be at and needs a long weekend. I mean, let's not be overly.
Oh, so what is this prep? Is this prep?
No,
for an extra long weekend.
This case is
okay.
It's legit. He looked green.
Yeah,
you know how people look green when they're not feeling well. So, our best to LB. Let's see. Here's somebody who says, rest up, buddy, if LB is listening. Yeah, hopefully he's listening on the way home. And hopefully he'll be listening to Danielle's accurate sports report
did he leave his notes? Maybe that'll be a fun game. At 9:05, I'll try to read LB's handwriting.
Oh, yeah. His handwriting is like some of the most precise cursive I've ever seen. Yes. So precise.
Will you stop revealing things that are going to happen during the Olympics? Would you please stop? Yes. He does write in cursive.
But it's so neat. It's actually hard to read.
Well, dude, it's huge. He puts one sentence on a piece of 8.5 by 11 paper. How can you not read it?
He's like John Hancock signing the Declaration of Independence.
But the fact that he still writes it out physically with pen and paper. I mean, he ought to just type the thing out on a laptop or something.
I mean, I know.
It would be so much more efficient.
I would say if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I don't think that's the proper term to use in this situation.
All right. Here's a text. If you're just joining the show, last night, our mayor, Marty Walsh, announced that he and Charlie Baker are going on a bro trip. They're taking a road trip to Washington, D.C., and we spent some time talking about that and ear-mothing all of the road songs a little while ago. And the texter says that Marty Walsh only made this announcement last night because the Red Sox are going to be going to the White House, and the two of them want to be there for the photo op. I don't know if that's true or not.
Governor Baker and I are going on a road trip. We have a Republican-led Senate and a Democratic House, so we'll go to Washington with a united front and call for the investments in housing and transit and the environment that our future depends on. Instead of building walls, let's show them how to build bridges.
Yeah, and I'm going to get my glove signed.
Charlie Baker backseat, a governor backseat, Marty front seat. Who brings the jumper cables? Just in case they have a problem. Marty probably. Marty seems like
Marty's
he's a hands-on kind of guy. Used to be a union guy. Yeah. If they have any car trouble, I think he could probably fix the car.
I feel like Charlie would be pretty handy with that stuff, too.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Plus, he's tall, so he could be a lookout.
Do you think that they're going to stop at a Stuckey's along the way?
Ooh.
Buy some fireworks and
get a pecan log?
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. South of the border was the fireworks place where they used to have all the signs. Wait. I mean,
you know, Marty's going to be like, when are you going to make these legal, Governor? We have to drive all the way down here to get these.
Those are so good, though.
Yeah, did you, Shu? Did you have you're nearly the same advanced age as I. Uh-huh. Did you ever go on the driving trip to Disney with your family?
Not to Disney.
We did that once.
Yeah.
And my late father Barry Hill, about 14 hours into the ride, turned around and said, "We're not stopping at any of these places. So stop asking if we could stop at Stuckey's or South of the Border. We're not going to do that."
My dad was the opposite. He'd stop anywhere, especially if it was food. Well, you can't get this in Massachusetts. We're stopping.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, speaking of food, WAAF Suburban and Bacon Fest is back, and it's happening on March 9th and March 10th at the Castle at Park Plaza. Mm. You will enjoy specialty bourbons and smoky bacon-themed samples all day or night long. This is a great event. Extraordinary event. And tickets are on sale now at baconevent.com. That's baconevent.com. And each session will sell out. I promise you that.
Yeah.
Because it does every year. So get your tickets now. Get a group together and go to the event. Are you not now, because we have things to get to, but you were positively giddy when you received the news that one of your archenemies has some personal news.
Well, this is all speculation.
Okay, all right,
confirmed.
So we won't be.
I wouldn't feel comfortable talking about that.
Okay, all right.
It's more of an off-air discussion.
Okay.
Me and some other people have put together an interesting timeline on how exactly this all happened, and we were suspect about this move a few months ago based on a certain individual's new Twitter following, but I don't feel comfortable discussing or speculating about that possible situation on the air. So
I've never seen someone get so giddy as when she received the news that a certain individual may have to share at some point. All right.
I'm happy for that person if that situation is the way it seems.
I'm sure you are. You seemed very, very happy.
I am.
So let's get to, it is 7:31. Mm-hmm. And let me give you the weather quick. It's going to be sunny and the temperature is going to be 39 today. So if you are an elite runner like myself, get your run in today, because there is snow coming tomorrow night into Friday morning. It's going to be a miserable commute Friday morning. And then they are still standing by the dire predictions that they're doing just for ratings, that we're going to have a big storm late Saturday night into Sunday. So, and apparently after the storm, there's going to be some kind of deep freeze or something like that. And that means that it'll be pure misery. Like, we'll get all the snow and the ice and everything. And then
a crust.
Yes, the crust.
Oh, glaciers. Yes. That's how glaciers start.
So, so that's,
bring it.
That's essentially the weather. So I want to get to today's Entitled Town USA story. And it involves a teenager in Ohio who called the police after her dad took her $800 phone away.
Yeah, I can't. I don't care who paid for it. You're a kid. You're 16. Yes. You're going to be punished. And this is what we have to resort to. So
not now.
No.
You know, your dad takes your precious communication device away, your iPhone. And the first thing you do is call 911.
Yes.
What part of Ohio was this?
This was in South Euclid, Ohio. And this 16-year-old girl called 911 to say that her father had taken her phone away from her as punishment. Now, Dad didn't pay for the phone, and she made that argument.
911, where is your emergency?
My father took property, which is an $800 phone that doesn't belong to him. He didn't buy it.
And then she goes on to, you know, tell them that she didn't feel that was right. Police wound up going to the home.
Yes.
And we have some sound from the discussion with the dad and the daughter.
Yes. I would like to suggest some kind of a commendation for this officer.
Yeah.
For what he says to this spoiled, entitled little girl. I am, I don't know if you know this or not, but I am, I was made an honorary member of the Massachusetts Police Association recently over the,
Can you arrest
in the fall. So when I suggest accommodation, I think it should be granted, but this is the body cam, correct?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I took her phone from her because she's a juvenile.
Okay.
I don't want her to have it.
Okay.
I can't inspect it.
It's mother, my property, though, and I don't live here.
But guess what? Everything that you own belongs to your mother and your father. Having a phone is not a right.
It's a crib, okay?
Boom.
Yep.
Yes.
Having a phone is not a right.
Yep.
What? What? Yes, it is.
That guy's an American hero.
What did he? Did she have to call 911 on a landline?
Oh God!
Who helped her with that?
Oh.
How did she? Dad, can I borrow your cell phone so that I can call 911 on you? I mean, that's good for the cops.
Yeah,
that's
good.
The way that should
you know
be
what?
Handled.
Yeah, it's give him a strike. Yeah. That's and it is. It's a constant battle, Greg. I'm sure you went through it with Julia.
When
she was a teenager, the whole phone thing.
Yes, of course.
It's a constant battle.
Of course.
You know what the phone struggle that Greg went through was, and this has been going on for, now it's a little different with the way the cell phone providers have with the phone purchases, but for many years there, I'd say a good 6 or 7 years, Greg had to suffer through cracked iPhone screen after cracked iPhone screen because his kids were always taking the upgrades on the family
You're
plan.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's why I had an iPhone 1A for 12 years, and I was mocked and ridiculed for that, but yes.
That reminds me of my mom got a new TV for Christmas because her other one was like 15 years old. It finally crapped the bed. So I went over to help her set it up because it's a smart TV, and she looks at the other one, and there's all the old like RCA inputs in back and whatnot. Yeah. There's like 40 different inputs for stuff. She's like, now how come the new TV doesn't have all this? And I'm like, because there's one cord. It's called HDMI. Just plug one thing in. Technology is amazing.
It is amazing.
Listen, I'm glad now that Julia is 21 and old and finishing up her last semester of college, believe it or not, the phone is, that's the only way I can keep track of her. She went back to St. Lawrence yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so this morning I get up. First thing that pops up on my Instagram is her at Tuesday Blues Day night at the Hoot Owl in St. Lawrence. And I was thinking to myself, how about you go back and begin your studies? You don't go to a bar the first thing when you get back to college.
You do when it's your college bestie's birthday, ding dong.
I mean,
yes.
There are
celebrations on which to be caught up.
I mean,
how dare you?
How about,
because you didn't go to college. You don't get it.
How about Tuesday's school's days, not Tuesday's blues days or whatever.
Nope.
All right, let us get to the news. And the news this hour is brought to you by
MyPillow. We all know that Hillman loves his MyPillows, and we know that you will too. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code WAAF to get 50% off the 4-pack special, 2 premium bed pillows, and 2 go-anywhere travel pillows. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code WAAF to save. Remind me, have we talked about Carol Channing at all lately?
Oh,
I don't think we have. I don't think there's a Hillman jinx that is involved here.
Okay.
But I do know that we lost Carol Channing. 97 years old?
Correct.
She was?
Ooh. Yes, 97.
And
she passed away yesterday, died of natural causes in Rancho Mirage, California.
Listen, if you get to 97... it's going to be the natural causes that take you. It's not right. like you're not going to have a you know, it's not like you're going to have some kind of an industrial accident
right.
or something
right.
like
some
that.
Kind of like sporting accident on a sailboat or
what yeah. is she most known most well known for? Hello Dolly, is that probably what so. She would you say that's what she's most
oh,
well
yeah,
well,
yeah.
Most
absolutely
well known for? Let's take a listen to it.
Well, hello, Louie. It's so nice to be back home where I belong. You're looking swell, Manny, I can tell. Danny, you're still glowing, you're still crowing, you're still going strong. I feel
that turn you on over there, fella?
Oh.
Hi. Sure.
Did she? Texter says that I know her most from Sesame Street. What did she mm-hmm. do on? What was she on Sesame Street a lot or something like that?
She yeah, mm-hmm. a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like back in the '70s
mm-hmm. when Sesame Street was really good.
Here's a 508 text that says Shoe now has boner number
yes,
one.
I get yes. it. Yes. Ha ha. Elderly porn. Yep. Beef jerky time. Bring it on.
Did you just hear that when we played that on the underneath the table?
Yep. That's hilarious.
Ew. Oh, Albie's not here. You got
it. Just as funny as the first time you and Lenny Clark made it up.
All right, what else is in the news today, Danielle?
Greg, I shouldn't even ask you this because I'm pretty sure.
Hold on, excuse me.
What?
Stop right there.
What happened?
This is a jinx. When we were trying to figure out Lamb Chop's name, we mentioned Carol Channing apparently last week on
really?
The show.
Really?
It's
a jinx.
When we were talking about Sherry Lewis.
Yes, yes, it is a jinx.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Oh,
sorry.
God.
Great.
I stand corrected.
Nice work, Ding Dong.
I killed Carol Channing. I killed Carol Channing. Well, hello, Dolly. Well, hello, Michael. Michael, would you run downstairs and get Carol a drink? All right, what else is in the news?
So I don't want to ask you this because I'm pretty sure I know what the answer is going to be. However, what are your thoughts on the people who think or feel that the president made a sexist remark when talking about preparing food for Clemson the other night?
I'm going to shock you and tell you that I agree.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
I thought it when I heard it.
Really?
So we discussed on the show yesterday that due to the government shutdown, the White House culinary staff is not working.
Right.
So the president was hosting the Clemson Tigers, national champions, and he had to order out to the fast food restaurants. By the way, a very funny tweet, an Instagram post from Burger King yesterday. Did you
yes,
see that?
Yes, I did see that.
Where they said they were all out of hamburgers
mm-hmm.
And they only mm-hmm. were serving hamburgers.
Yes, that was very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
guy's hands were greasy. Cut him some slack.
I did think that when he said that the first and second ladies could have made the fellas salads, that it was sexist. But I'll let you weigh in on it because you're the listeners. I'm just the host. This is the audio that I believe you're talking about, Danielle.
So I had a choice. Do we have no food for you because we have a shutdown? Or do we give you some little quick salads that the first lady will make along with the second lady? They'll make some salads. And I said, you guys aren't into salads.
Now, I get the joke. The Clemson guys, the O-linemen, they're not gonna want to eat salads. They're mm-hmm. gonna want. However, why would somebody say that only a woman could go into the kitchen and the White House kitchen and make a salad?
I don't know. I don't care about this one.
You don't?
No.
Really?
No. Didn't bother me.
It doesn't bother you?
Whatever. I mean, it would have been funnier if he said, you know, we'll get Mike Pence to make the salad. Because
no,
that's what the vice president's for.
Listen, what he should have said
as long as
is,
his wife is in the room.
That's true. Good point.
What he should... I was thinking about this when I heard it last night. And I was thinking, you know, he should have said, The vice president and I are going to go make Greg's easy Italian chicken or whatever Trump's specialty is. I mean, I assume the guy probably cooks a meal every once in a while. Do you think they trade off on meals in their household? Do you think Melania has Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and he has Tuesday and Thursday, and he has to go to Shaw's and pick up the grill? I was at Shaw's yesterday, and a listener came up to me and said, I am going to call tomorrow and tell Danielle that you are actually shopping at the grocery store yourself.
So did Mrs. Hill drive Julia back to school, and that's why you had to go grocery shopping?
Of course. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Greg.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, isn't the whole point of his, no matter who's making the salad, if it's the wives or the husbands, isn't this whole point is there are no government workers there to make the salad because the government shut down?
Well, yes.
But, isn't that his whole point?
Here's a text from a woman, 978 text. I'm a woman, and I don't see that remark as being sexist. Here's somebody who says he was saying that because mostly only women eat salad. Not me. Not during Dryet January. Here's somebody who says, what if Melania likes salads?
Right. What if she enjoys making salads?
It sounded to me a little bit sexist. I have to admit.
Yeah, but it's outdated thought. The man burns the meat, and then the woman makes the salad.
What he should have said is, "I'm gonna get me a salad." that's what he should have said.
I'm gonna get me a salad.
By the way,
yes,
he went completely savage over the Elizabeth Warren video. On Monday, you guys probably don't follow him on Twitter.
Oh, I do.
Did you see all that stuff?
No, I didn't.
Oh my God.
Hold on.
Complete savage. He just starts randomly tweeting about her video and saying that she should have filmed it at Wounded Knee.
And that it would have been
better if her husband came in wearing Indian garb.
And then he
tweeted again later and said that why is she asking her husband if he's home if he lives there? It was complete savage. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Bobby?
LB, good to hear you back, man.
LB left today because he's sick.
That's ironic.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
So, anyways, I just wanted to call real quick because I know you're very usually particular about what people say, about the wording that they say. And
yes,
I'm real surprised about this morning when you're saying that Trump said only a girl could make the salad, because he never said only a female could make it. He just said the first lady could make the salad.
He couldn't have said his chief of staff or somebody else or him.
I think to say the first lady and the second lady could have made the salads is basically stereotyping women as the ones who do the cooking. That's all.
I definitely hear you about that, but I'm surprised, because usually you're very particular about the wording on what someone says, and you'll usually back him and say, no, well, he didn't say exactly that word. I was just surprised. Yeah. I just wanted to call in about it. But you got
all right. Thank you. It is 7:46 coming up. You think Derek the Steelers fan is passionate? We will discuss what a female Eagles fan did to her girlfriend after the loss this weekend. Coming up tomorrow, Stowe 5-0 at about 7:30. Quick look at some of the heinous crimes that have been perpetrated on the citizens of my nearly lifelong hometown of Stowe, Massachusetts, bucolic Stowe, Massachusetts. On the 495 in the 495 belt, nothing as heinous as the crimes that occurred in Arkansas in this new season of True Detective, which is, I told you, extraordinary. Are you on it yet?
It's good, not as good as the first season.
Did you get through episode two?
Yeah.
You watched both?
Yeah, last night.
Well, give it a couple. I mean, I don't think it's time.
No, it's good. It's good.
It's way better than season two.
Season two was just like a regular cop show.
That was like a steaming pile of you know.
This
what,
one but, has that kind of ambient, you know, menacing quality the first one did, where there was like a creepiness in the air in every scene.
Yeah.
But it's good. No, it's good. But you can't beat the chemistry between Harrelson and McConaughey.
Yeah.
You know, that's what made the first season to me.
Yeah, but I think together. I like the two detectives.
It's nice to see Stephen Dorff again.
Yes, and he's really good.
He's excellent. Yeah.
Like that scene where he's going to shoot the animal.
Yeah.
Where they're sitting out. He's good.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. What's his name? Marshali? The guy who just won the Oscar again for Green Book. I always get his name wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, the lead guy, his character is fascinating.
I know.
The whole background in Vietnam.
Right. And the kind of reflecting back from old age and everything.
That's like the first season. They keep jumping back and forth in timelines. But it's done very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Let's see. Whatever. Heads up. Watch, if you haven't yet, watch this third season of True Detective on HBO. It's good. I think it's good. I think it's going to be good. Here's a 774 text. Speaking of LB, I haven't heard him. We sent LB home today. He was not feeling well from the get-go, and we sent him back home. So LB will be back when he feels better. Another text that says, speaking of LB, will I see the Goon during the Hill Cup at Gillette Stadium?
It's not in Gardner.
Depending on how he feels, the first ever Hill Cup to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation is coming up January 26th and 27th, outdoor ice at Gillette Stadium. So we'll see if we can get LB to come on down.
Thank God you're friends with the Crafts. Huh?
What do you mean by that?
Gillette.
They would have anybody out there.
I know, I'm kidding. I'm making a joke about the Crafts.
I didn't get that.
You've been there since the beginning.
Yes, that's correct.
We're happy to have the Hillman down at Patriot Place. You've been with us since the beginning.
Thank you. All right, speaking of football, there is a Philadelphia Eagles fan who was not really flying or soaring or whatever it is that those Eagles fans do after the loss this weekend, and she is in trouble with the law, Danielle, after what she did to her girlfriend because she was so upset about the loss.
It's what she did to her girlfriend's dog. Kristen Gaskins is her name. She's from Philly, and she was so upset about the Eagles playoff loss on Sunday, she's 31, by the way, that she attacked her girlfriend inside their room at the Best Western in Hanover Township. She then placed her girlfriend's Pomeranian in the microwave.
Oh.
Now, luckily, she did not turn it on.
Oh, okay.
But
the
dog barely fit into the microwave, obviously there's limited ventilation inside a microwave, and the dog could not stand up or turn around. She's kind of just stuffed in there. So Kristen has now been arrested. She's been charged with assault, harassment, cruelty to animals, possession of drug paraphernalia.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.